Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome along to The Score. It's a new look partnership tonight with myself, Jeremy Doherty, and Mark Gallagher in studio. And we have another busy programme lined up with the focus very much on Finn Harps and another week of drama and much change in Balbuffet. Harps have a new manager in place. We'll hear from Patrick McAleeny later on. And Harps chairman Ian Harkin is in studio as well. But first tonight, we're going to check in at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. It's the second leg of the Conference League meeting of Derry City and Rijeka of Croatia. City trailed 1-0 from the first leg. This game at a 6:30 start. Martin Holmes has the latest.
Thank you, Jeremy. We're under the last 9 minutes of the first half here. And on the night, it's Derry City 0, Rijeka 1. Derry were in total control for the first 14 minutes. Somehow they didn't come out of that 14 minute period 3-0 in front. Liam Boyce had a really should have done better with a great shooting chance up 10 yards out in the second minute. They had a really timid shot when fire was the only option that he should have been looking at. 2 minutes later, Michael Duffy, the captain, had a decent chance to shoot from the left side of the box, but he nearly took a touch too many and then allowed the really good defender just to get a good block out of him and thwart his effort. On 11 minutes, Duffy, Chapman and Boyce linked well down the left for Derry. They made a great shooting chance for Boyce, 12 yards out. But again, he didn't make the most of the opportunity, and his effort was blocked by a defender. And in 14 minutes, the goal came. Daniel Aduya-Jay slack defending on the far side from Derry City. Cameron Dunnigan made an error. He tried to play a ball back. He didn't do it right, uncharacteristically for him. He's on the ball right now in the centre of the Derry defence as they defend the Brandywell Road end. And it allowed the Daniel Aduya-Jay to come in and stick the ball across the face of goal past Brian Maher's despairing grasp at it to try and get it. And I wouldn't say that I stayed, but it's made a tough job even harder for Derry. On 23 minutes of the first half, Duffy's cross on the left was met by Patrick McLean, and he headed over the bar from 4 yards out. He couldn't get the ball down. They drop and headed downward, if you will. He was always heading over with the way he was meeting it. Adam O'Reilly's on the ball. He's seen a lot of the ball in the first half. He should have made more of a great chance. He was in the process of creating for Michael Duffy on 33 minutes, but he played the ball kind of behind him almost, when he should have just given him the feet and let Duffy run on as he normally does. But I mean, it's not over till it's over, but Derry need 2 goals to get in the extra time here. And the way this Rijeka team are playing, it's hard to see that. Their number 10, Tony Fruit, is reportedly going to Ajax for a fee of between 10 and 12 million euros. So gives you an idea of the gulf here. Rijeka have had the ball. They let Derry have it for the first 13 or 14 minutes, and then they scored. And since then, they've just been hanging passes about. Derry have still been able to create wee forays up into the Rijeka area of the pitch, but from what I see here, it's hard to see them breaking this down. They need a goal before half time, I think. They mentally let them feel that they're still in with a chance, but as I say, it's not over till it's over, but it's going to be a long, hard rest of this game for Derry City, because this team just looked like they're about to get started, really. They're a goal to the good on the night, and over the two legs on the aggregate score, it's Derry City 0, Rijeka 2.
Martin Holmes, thank you. So a bit of work to do for Derry City. I mentioned Ian Harkin, the Harps chairman, is in studio with us. Joe Boyle is here too. We'll hear from Joe later on in the programme as he offers his insight into another busy weekend up ahead in terms of League of Ireland football, and I'm sure he'll have his thoughts or offer his thoughts on what's been happening at Finn Park, where there's a new manager in place. Patrick McAleeny appointed the new first team coach on Monday, replacing Kevin McHugh, who has since hit out at the Harps board over the manner of the new appointment. Harps assistant boss Tommy Canning has also had his say, voicing his disappointment at the way Kevin McHugh and his management team have been treated by the board. A short time ago, I spoke with Tommy, who offered his views on a week of significant change at Finn Park.
it's certainly been a week of change and a week of all sorts of mixed emotions. And you're right, you talk about us heading down the road to Kerry last week. And in fact, on the way to Kerry last Friday, I got a call from somebody that informed me at that point that there was a new manager to be installed after the weekend, and that our chairman and the new sporting director had interviewed this person a few weeks previous. I tried to phone the chairman when we arrived at the hotel last Friday, and he didn't answer, and I didn't get to speak to him, but all of that transpired over the weekend. On Sunday, myself and Kevin and Eamon, or Kevin essentially, and then subsequently myself and Eamon, were sacked by the current board at Finn Harps. So I guess with some of these things and the way they play out, and look, the madness of football at times, we all know, but more and more kind of news filters out as the week moves on, and it just leaves you kind of pretty disappointed that people didn't have a sense of honesty or transparency or integrity to sit you down and have a conversation with you about maybe some of the difficulties that they felt were happening at the club, and maybe that we needed to improve. That those conversations never happened, and essentially Sunday afternoon we got sacked.
Okay, well, reading your piece in the Donegal News, your interview there, Tommy, I mean, you've pointed to the fact that you were very committed to this position right from the start of the season. You guys knew what you had in terms of players, in terms of finances, but you were in for the long haul. And while it was hard going at times, you were prepared to put the shoulder to the wheel, Tommy. So for this to end so suddenly and the way it has is probably frustrating and hugely disappointing.
It is hugely disappointing, and you're right, Dermot. Like, we were under no illusion in November and December of 2025 that things were difficult, and we were working under kind of tight restraints, and that's okay. And I guess the remit, as far as I was concerned, the remit for Kevin and us as staff was kind of twofold. One was to make sure that we built on and continued to build on the model of developing young players from the academy, and I think there's some things that point to that going well. There's over 7,000 minutes played by young players that have come through our academy this season. There's been multiple academy graduates, all senior debuts, three players at the Under-17 World Cup. All of them things that point to say that remit was at least being tended to. And then I think the other side of that was the idea of trying to move the club forward in terms of and in some ways, despite the difficulties of it and being very conscious and knowledgeable at the beginning of the season of the constraints, we were up for the task, and we felt that we were going in the right direction. And look, let's be honest, there were some difficult moments throughout this season, but still we felt at the beginning of 2026 we were going in the right direction. We knew it would require another window, which we hoped would be this window, but over the last maybe 6, 8, 10 weeks, maybe things have transpired that have made that extremely difficult. Things like a loss of accommodation and no delivery on the promise around that. The fact that we'd moved to the lowest budget in the league. The removal of things like GPS vests and stats analysis. Forced reduction in playing staff with players kind of been removed from the squad, which has a huge impact on the synergy and the mood within a dressing room, and all those things. And again, there's been talk about the playing style, and yet there was zero investment on the playing surface at Finn Park, and all of those things at League of Ireland level are basics.
Yeah.
But even with all of that, and as those things transpired over the last couple of months, myself and I can talk for Kevin and Eamon, we were still prepared to see this through. We were still prepared in the face of that to keep going, to keep trying to improve things, to keep trying to progress academy players, to still try and keep improving the product, even though all these things were going on. So when the news came on Sunday, it came as a bit of a shock in terms of well, we were three people that, in the face of these difficulties, were prepared to continue. And then all of a sudden, that decision was taken to then recruit other people that hadn't kind of faced all of the difficulties that we'd faced for the 8 or 9 or 10 months before that.
But Tommy, you've been around a long time. You've been working at senior level for so many years. You're experienced. You do know that when a team is struggling at the bottom end of the table, at the wrong end of the table, that, you know, the manager and his fellow coaches may be held responsible for that position.
Absolutely, and I am not shirking in any way my position there or my role in that. This is not a case of trying to shift the responsibility or the blame for that anywhere else. So again, within a football club at this level, things on the pitch and things off the pitch in terms of the running of the football club have to be in sync, and there has to be a synergy around that. And when one's off kilter, then it affects the other. So I personally, and again, I can speak for Kevin and Eamon, I'm prepared to accept the responsibility that comes my way in terms of the position that the club finds itself in. But it all has to be seen in context, and it has to be seen in terms of, it's like at the beginning of the year, being asked to cut down a tree and being told you have a chainsaw. And then halfway through the year, they're saying, well, we're picking that chainsaw away, but we'll give you a handsaw. And then 2 months later, they tell you, well, actually, there's a fork and knife if you could cut that tree down now. So whilst I will accept my part in it, I then, in that, feel that if you have enough integrity, others would step up and accept their role and where we sit as well.
There you go. That's the thoughts of Tommy Canning, the outgoing Harps assistant manager. And as I mentioned, Ian Harkin is with us here in studio, the Finn Harps chairman. Ian, I've got to appreciate that's the first time you've heard those comments from Tommy, and you're only taking them on board now. But I'm sure you've had less stressful weeks as Harps chairman.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at the people that are involved there, Kevin, who's, you know, given over 30 years to the club, and Tommy and Eamon both gave huge dedication this year, not just this year, but like and previously in the academy as well. They're both lifelong fans of the club. They both live in the community as well, and it's extremely difficult. On Sunday, when I met Kevin, I explained to him that before we actually made this hire, we were advised not to make that hire because ultimately, within the average in the League of Ireland is that managers last about 18 months, and you're going to have to make that call one day. It may be sooner than you expect, but someday you're going to have to make that call, and it's going to be extremely difficult for those people to remain within the club or just, you know, to remain part of it. So I suppose this week's announcement, we tried to leave that door open, and we actually do want them to remain part of the club. It's just a very difficult situation to be in. Ultimately, you know, listening to Tommy there, you know, a lot of what he said and what has happened over the years is correct in terms of cost being cut. But you know, these decisions, they are ultimately made by the fans, and it's not the people, when I say that, it's not the people, it's not the keyboard warriors, the people that, you know, give all the different comments, or the people at the grounds, you know, that shout things or whatever it is. You know, those, the people in the grounds that shout different opinions, whatever, they're entitled to, they pay to get in, but it's the people that are silent. It's the people that aren't actually turning up to matches. They're the ones that ultimately make the decision, because when that money's not coming in, we set our budget at the beginning of the year, and it's the people that aren't turning up to games. They're the ones that ultimately we have to make the decisions based on that. So the beginning of the year, we didn't know there was going to be an investment in our club. And ultimately, you know, you're looking at the table position. We've been reviewing it as a board for this last 4 weeks, and we've seen that, look, as of now, there's roughly 30 weeks to the start of the next season. You've got 10 weeks pre-season, 10 weeks where we're on holidays, and you've got 10 weeks left in this season. So because of the investment coming in, we plan to go full-time next year. And during the off-season, if we want to convince people to come to Donegal, we've got to be able to show them that we are going professional, but we actually are already professional. So we made the decision to use this time as best we possibly could and to put in place processes, because there's a lot of learning. You've got to get facilities in place. You've got to appoint the right people. There's, you know, there's the sports science, there's the nutrition, there's the just all of that background staff that we need to have in place. I mean, if we want to convince people to come here, we have to have that in place.
But Kevin McHugh and Tommy would argue that, you know, 10 weeks left of the season, Ian, what was the panic? What was the rush? Could they not have seen things out?
Yeah, well, it's been able to demonstrate to people. So recruitment for next year is going to be extremely important because we are moving towards full-time football. So if we're going to bring people into Donegal, or actually I think what we're going to try and do is focus on people from Donegal that are playing in Northern Ireland or playing in the Republic of Ireland that are from the region to come back. So we've got to be able to demonstrate to them that we have this already in place. And to do that, it's full-time. And the three management staff, or previous management staff, they all have full-time jobs. They weren't in a position to be able to do that because the salaries that we're paying are less than what their current salaries would be.
The statement that touches on the statement that was issued on Monday announcing the appointment of Patrick McElhinney, and it suggested that Kevin wasn't in a position to take up a full-time position as manager, but, you know, was therefore happy to step aside, but he would suggest different. Is that the case, do you think, Ian? Is he right, or could you have handled things a wee bit differently in that front?
As in, he was prepared to take a less salary, lower salary?
Well, the suggestion is that, you know, the reason why Kevin has been, you know, as moving away as manager, is not going to be retained as manager, is that he wasn't in a position to take on a full-time role as manager, so was quite happy to step aside. He would suggest otherwise.
That's not what he said to me, no.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Okay. But you can understand Kevin and I suppose Tommy's feelings and frustrations at this stage at the way things have just ended.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're dedicated. I mean, I think the press release that we did announce on Monday was, I think the first version of it that we sent to Kevin, he said it felt more like an obituary. You know, it was that complimentary towards him. But like we absolutely, like, you cannot fault those guys for work effort or their commitment to the club or their love for the club. Like, it's, that is absolutely on. You know, you can't question that. But like, we as board members, somebody has to take responsibility for pay and wages each week.
Yeah.
For this last 3 years, every single Monday that you know, like, when you go into the club to pay wages, it's been a massive struggle. So if numbers are coming down, like, you've been at the games, there's 500 people there recently. And to be able to, the numbers just don't stack up. So we like, the only card that you have to play as a board is to make change.
I think fans will appreciate that, Ian. I think you know, supporters will accept those reasons, and it's probably up to the board to get that message out there and explain the reason, you know, behind this decision. Patrick McElhinney, he comes with such a brilliant playing career behind him, but this is his first step into management, so perhaps Harp's taken a wee bit of a chance on this one.
Yeah, just for clarity on that, the first time I spoke to Patrick was on Sunday night. I came into training on Monday night and met him for the first time. And yeah, he's very, very positive, very organized. He's, you know, his playing career is second to none. you know, he's got that familiarity with what professional football is, you know, in terms of the daily routines, the all of that stuff that we have to instill this side of Christmas.
Yeah, and we'll hear from Patrick shortly because Oisin has been chatting to him this week. But no sooner had he come on board, Ian, a new signing, which is great to see. Kieran Harkin, a really, really talented player, signed from Sligo Rovers. So, you know, a boost for the playing staff. Will there be more signings, or are we running out of time at this stage?
I think we're running out of time at this stage. Yeah. I mean, we are progressing with our investment at the moment, so there may be funds available from that, but at the moment it's working with what we've got. Yeah.
And what's the latest on that then, Ian? I'll finish up with this one. I mean, is everything still on track in terms of the proposed takeover?
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's going to be, you know, completely change the club. And look, we've been in survival mode for this last 3 years. This opportunity is enormous for the club. We're at the point now where we're agreeing heads of terms. It fluctuated a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but that's the nature of investments. And there's so many different stakeholders that we have to work with that we have agreed now pretty much heads of terms. The agreements will be sent over shortly. We then need to go within. Once we have that, we will prepare our resolutions that we send out to shareholders, and we'd hope to have that sent out in the next couple of weeks. Once we then have that vote, you can't actually change owners during a season. It has to happen at the year end, so we'll hold on to those votes, and then the actual new structure will be in place just as soon as the season ends.
Yeah, really, really exciting times on that front. Has the new investor been kept up to date with what's been happening in terms of this managerial appointment?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. So we've been talked through with that with him, and I believe Kevin has also spoken with him in recent times as well.
Okay. Ian, thanks so much. Patrick McElhinney will be in charge tomorrow night for Harps versus Cork City. Hopefully a little boost to the attendance as well. And
yeah.
all of a sudden it's a new chapter for the club.
Yeah, look, we need people to come back out and support the new management team. It is a difficult week. But look, this is football. Darren Murphy has this saying where he says football, it's a beautiful game, but it's a horrible business. And it's at times it is very, very difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Ian, really appreciate you coming on tonight and joining us in studio because it's been an important week for the club, a massive week and a massive change, but important to explain the reasons behind it. Thanks. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Okay. We're probably going to catch up on a commercial break. Reminder, Derry City trailing in their match against Rijeka at the Ray McBride Brandywell Stadium. They were down by a goal to nil just before halftime. We're going to link up again with Martin Holmes very, very shortly. But for now, we're going to go for a quick break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. There's European action on tonight. The Conference League, we'll be going to Martin Holmes very, very soon. Balkany and Bowes kicked off at 7 o'clock. Latest score there, it's 1-1 in that tie in Kosovo. Remember, Bowes were 2-1 up from the first leg, and Shelburne are safely through to the next round. They lost tonight in Estonia against Kalju by 2-1, but they progress 6-4 on aggregate. Derry City, last we heard, had a bit of work to do. They were trailing 1-0 against Rijeka. For the latest, that's back to Martin Holmes.
Thanks, Jimmy. The opposition are out in the pitch this last couple of minutes. Derry are now coming out onto the pitch. Half time it was 1-0 to the visitors on the right, 2-0 to them on aggregate. Derry had a brilliant 13 opening minutes. They should have scored. We voiced them 2 minutes. Mikey Duffy on 4 minutes probably should have scored as well. Duffy Chapman and Boyce linked very well in 11 minutes down the left. They created a great chance for Boyce to shoot from 12 yards. And his effort was blocked by a defender. Finally taking a pass to Derry. At times, Derry, when they have the ball, we've got a killer instinct in front of the goal. They probably have served them well in the first half. On 14 minutes, Daniel Adeyeji scored a goal, slack home defending on the far side, and from the edge of the Derry box. And Adam Ajayi took advantage of a mistake with Cameron Donegan, and he rolled the ball across the goal pass play and the end of the net. And 23 minutes, Mickey Duffy for Derry. A good cross from the byline. It was there by Patrick McLean, but he had it just over the bar from 4 yards out. But it was one of those crosses that was never coming down in quick enough time for McLean to really make any use of it. But it was always heading over the bar, unfortunately. Derry had just kicked off the half below us here. Tusk was put for a foul on Pavage, the Derry player Tusk, on 29 minutes. And on a stroke of half-time, a Derry free kick from the left edge of the box. Michael Duffy took the shot. It was blocked out of the fence. He had a good, decent shot, but it was kind of head height. He didn't have his trademark where he kind of lifts it over him, and it falls maybe under the back of the net or under a dangerous spot for the keeper. But a few good moments for Derry in the first half. There's a very poor one from their debutant, Brooklyn Lions Foster, who's going to be booked for that challenge. The Derry number 24. It was quite a robust challenge. He went for the ball. I had more chance to get the ball than he had from here, and he's rightly booked. He joined Derry City from Helsinki. He's been in the Papa Hotspur Academy and been on the bench for the first team twice and just didn't make it over the line. But he's had a decent enough opener for his home debut, but that challenge was very poor, and he deservedly gets a yellow card. Puts his team on the defensive here. And Rijeka bring the ball down the far side. McLean, Patrick McLean is there. Puts it clear, finds Michael Duffy. And Ellis Chapman gets it on the far side and wins. Concedes, actually, a throw-in. I thought that was a very throw, but it's a throw-in is conceded. But Rijeka just happened to take it back to their own half and take their time with the ball. So we're 3 minutes into the second half here at the Brandelow. And on the night, it's Derry City 0, Rijeka 1, and Rijeka lead by 3-0 on aggregate.
Thank you very much, Martin Holmes. Be interesting to see if Patrick McAleeny is at that game tonight. He'll be in the dugout tomorrow night at Finn Park, taking charge of his first game as Finn Harps manager. And earlier this week, Oisin Kelly caught up with Patrick.
Patrick McAleeny joining us for the first time on Highland as head coach of Finn Harps Football Club. I suppose, first of all, Patrick, congratulations and best wishes with the role. Listen, why join the ranks at Finn Harps?
Well, I just got a phone call and it's basically went from there. It's been quite a quick process, but I mean, it's something that I'm really looking forward to and show all my experience from playing and being around the League of Ireland to help the younger players and try and make us better.
Listen, you've been to Finn Park as a player and you know the sort of venue it is and what goes on around the club. Did that help you in making the decision in any sort of way?
Do you know what? It was actually part of my first presentation to the players, just about what I thought of playing against Finn Harps and how tough it was, and especially playing in the derbies and things like that. It was really tough, so just trying to give them a bit of background on what it's like to actually play here whenever it's rocking, because when Finn Park is like that, it's a really tough place to go and play. And that's where we're trying to get to, and obviously sprinkle on all our things on top of it as in the football business. But let's see how it goes and ask for better from the players.
You have coached previously at Derry. You've helped out with Dundalk when you were there, and indeed with Ballymena as well. But this is the first time, Patrick, that you've stepped up to take the head coach role in your career. So obviously it's a big step going out on your own to take the top position.
It's always something I wanted to do. I was captain at Derry and I was kind of working towards it a wee bit. So look, as I said there, it's always something I wanted to do, and when the opportunity came up, I spoke to a few clubs, to be honest, before making this decision. But as soon as this arose and I spoke to the people around it, I was all in. So I'm really, really excited. Can't explain it enough. Trying to get going, but there's been a lot of work on and off the pitch now at the minute, but we'll get there. And hopefully the Finn Harps fans can see the improvements that we can get to.
obviously you're going to implement your own style of play with the group and Balbuffet. What's your sort of philosophy? What's your vision of football? And what have you learned over the last couple of years in other coaching capacities, which brings you now to this point in your career, Patrick? What can we look forward to as you directing this group at Harps?
Well, I've had this conversation with numerous people about philosophies and things like that. Like, ideally, everybody wants to play like Man City and Barcelona, but sometimes you have to adapt and you have to be a wee bit more pragmatic. And look, you're walking into Fun Harps where everybody's hurting. The players are obviously not feeling amazing at the minute, the bottom of the table, but all you can ask for is maximum effort, especially for the football club and the fans, and hopefully we can sprinkle a wee bit of something on it where the football becomes a better brand. And that's a longer process from experience. Whenever a new manager or whoever takes over and they're trying to implement, they want to play football and they want to spread the pitch and they want to play through the thirds, that takes a longer time to get to. And but right now it's hard work, it's grit, with a tiny bit of where I want to get to, and hopefully I can.
And so then what is the target for this term? Because you're in as interim manager, head coach, rather, until the end of the season. So come the end of the season, what is the target for that, Patrick?
Well, for me, I've always shot big in my career as a player. I know we're bottom of the league right now, but it's mathematically still possible to get into the playoffs and things like that. So it's game by game. And see if we can get better, lay the foundations for the club going forward, on and off the pitch. And I'm not going to lie, I've been looking up the table, so we'll do our very best to at least compete and get into them places.
Yeah, and the fact that the group is very much an experience, because the reality is the bulk of that group at Harps at the minute are very, very young. Is that a big question to ask of such a young group sitting bottom to work their way into the top five, Patrick?
It probably is for every outsider, but it's not for me. I think that I'll do everything I can to help these young lads settle, and hopefully I can take a bit of the heat off them and just let them worry about their playing football. And but they succeed in football, you're going to have to handle pressures like that, and I'll put that across them as nicely as possible, that it is a big bad world playing in football, that you have to have a thick skin and you have to want more for yourself and want more for your teammates. So I don't see a problem. We shouldn't hide.
Yeah. Shane's in alongside your brother Shane McElhinney in a coaching capacity. He, of course, is working through his badges at the moment. How was it, or how important is it to have somebody so close to you now alongside you, Patrick, in this capacity?
It's important. And as I said, they've been thinking about doing something like this for a long time. So you obviously have your picks in your head. It's not as if you just one day get a phone call and, yeah, he'll do. So, I mean, firstly, yes, he is my brother and I trust him. But the next thing is we have the same kind of views on football. And we know that we'll challenge each other. We're not going to be best mates all the time. We'll have agreements and disagreements. So that's the kind of environment that I want for staff going forward. And I think we're two genuine people. I think the players will be... they'll see that. There'll be no lies. There'll be no wires crossed. It'll be very black and white for them. So that's why Shane's in with me. And he is obviously the previous of playing for Fun Harps, and a really good Fun Harps team at that. Having played against them for Dundalk, they under Ollie and Higgsy, they had a brilliant side. So that was all part of it.
Yeah. Looking ahead now to your first couple of fixtures, they're going to come thick and fast. It's Monday, Friday, playing host to the league leaders Cork on Friday, and then away to Longford on Monday. But it's top against bottom. That's the reality of it on Friday evening at Finn Park, and Cork are probably the best team in the league. How do you prep your team now over the next couple of days for that challenge, Patrick?
I mean, the table doesn't lie. They look as if they're going to go on and win it, and we're at the very bottom of the table. But I think the main thing is belief, giving the players belief that they can actually go and get results, and I think they have done previously, so in one-off matches. So, I mean, it's there in front of them as evidence. It's just giving them that belief, and hopefully me and Shane's experience of playing in big games and on what's needed, small tweaks in and out of possession that can hopefully send us in the right path.
And I suppose too, when new managers come in and there is a change, there's always a bit of a bounce. And if that was to happen this weekend and indeed the following weekend as well, Patrick, it would be a great start to the tenure. But for the actual group itself and how young they are, if they are to get a good number of results together, it would all feed into what you said earlier about looking up and moving up the table.
Well, that would be an ideal world if things like that happen. But there's also the Wilfred Nancy story. So, yeah. I mean... we have work to do, and me and Shane and the players. So, look, ideally we'll land on there and get a few results and get us moving. That would be amazing. But we know how tough Friday night's game's going to be, and we're not really looking past that, to be honest. I mean, we can meet the Longford game on Saturday morning first thing, but it's kind of game by game until further notice.
Yeah. Just finally, there hasn't been much movement on the transfer front from a Harps point of view over the last number of weeks. The window for League of Ireland players actually closed last night, but there is still an opportunity for other players to come in, maybe out of contract professionals. Is that something that you and Shane are looking at in the coming days and coming weeks as well, Patrick?
Well, we only really had a few days to try and get the work on it, so it was a long few days just trying to get things done. But I mean, hopefully the club can announce something soon. But we'll see about that now later on. But look, we'll always be looking for players who we think can suit the system and suit the club and suit the culture of how we want it to go. I've seen good cultures and bad cultures, and I think that I know exactly what I want and what I need to make it into a good one.
Okay. Patrick Megalini, many thanks for joining us on Highland Radio Sport. And all we can do is wish you and Shane and the rest of the group and everyone at Fun Harps all the best for the future under your tenure. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you. Thanks.
There you go, Patrick Michelini, Oisin Kelly with the questions there. And as Oisin said, we wish Patrick all the very best for on his new appointment. Joe Boyle and Tony McNamee Senior are with me in studio now as we continue with our programme tonight. Joe, your thoughts on what's been happening at Finn Park. Did this appointment come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, it's disappointing for Kevin. Look, it's somebody who's been at the club for a long, long time. You know, you can see in the couple of articles in the papers where he's really, really disappointing. When you lose a manager, or when a manager loses his job, is always disappointing, and I can understand that. But when you look at the league table and you see that there's only been 5 victories this season, you can understand where the board's coming from. And you heard Ian there earlier in the show speaking about the fans weren't turning up. So from a club point of view, you can see that. But from a personal point of view, and knowing Kevin so well down through the years since he was a youth player that played for me, he'd be really, really disappointed because he has put his heart and soul into the club. So I do understand that. You know, it's exciting times now when you have that disappointment, you're looking to move forward now with the arrival of Patrick McElhinney. And again, I would know Patrick, similar to Kevin, from playing through his career and watching him play and that. So when you look at, he's been part of one of the best teams ever in the League of Ireland in my time watching League of Ireland football. You know, if he can bring some of the good practices that comes from that Dundalk team that he played in, and when you look at his career then, about the amount of trophies that he's won in the games, like he's played over 500 games in the league. Yeah. You know, that's a huge wealth of experience. But that's as a player. He's coming in now as a coach into a team that's bottom of the league, so yeah, he will be tested over the next couple of weeks. But you can hear there in his interview that in his own quiet way, Patrick, you know, he was an exciting player. Hopefully he'll bring a little bit of excitement back to Finn Park. And you know, as it was mentioned earlier in the show this evening, it's top against bottom. And when you look at Cork over the last couple of weeks, they've had a bit of a shaky period where they've lost 3 matches on the bounce. So, you know, you're looking for that new bounce. You're hoping that the players get that new bounce that you get. You often hear about it. So it's really, really important for Patrick and the players this weekend, and that there'll be a little bit of energy. You know, it was disappointing, but, you know, when you look at Cork, they've conceded a few goals over the last couple of games where they've been beaten. So you're hoping that Harps might have a little bit up front, that they can do that, and the arrival of Kieran Harkin coming in on the pitch will be a great boost for them in the middle of the field as well. A man is coming with 250 games played in the League of Ireland. So a lot of things that has happened, a lot of disappointment, but again, you've got to go into Friday night and you'd be hoping that the fans will come out and support Patrick and the team. And I think it's really, really important because they go into it a week where they've got a Cork, Longford and Bray in the next 7 days. So, you know, they need all the help they had. Two of them games away from home. So, you know, going into Monday and going into next Friday, it'd be great to get something out of the Cork game. Would we take a 0-0 here? Absolutely, we'd take something. Any positivity for the players, particularly going into two difficult away games.
Yeah, and because Harps drew with them towards the start of the season as well. Tony McNamee, I'm conscious of the fact that young Tony is team captain, very much part of the first team setup, but they've been struggling, Tony. They really could do with a few good results and try and lift themselves away from the bottom of the table.
Yeah, definitely. As everybody says, the table doesn't lie. I know it's not nice anybody losing their job or their position, but the results counts, and yeah. A new man come in who I know personally very well, and as Joe said earlier, if he does anything compared to what he had in his playing career, you know, even a quarter of it, I think he'll, you know, he can move them up a wee bit. You know, it's hard with the transfers more or less over, no more signings apparently.
Yeah,
Kieran Harkin as a defensive midfielder is probably something that they were really lacking as well.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and hopefully tomorrow night we can get a bit of a boost out of all of this, and he will have the respect of that playing squad, Joe, given the fact that he's had such a brilliant playing career himself. First step into management, yes, but a wonderful player.
But he's a wonderful lad as well. You know, I know Patrick from when he was 16, 17 years of age, and he always had that respect in the dressing room when he walked in as a player, and when he played as well, he played with a very, very unique style. You know, there wasn't many people who could carry off what he did, and when he comes into the dressing room and he sits down and speaks with the players, I would imagine this week training's been hard for them for the first session that they've had after getting that news, because, you know, players and their managers, whether it's top or bottom of the league, does have a bond. But I would imagine by Friday evening, hopefully by 7:45 on Friday evening, that there'll be a good roar at Finn Park as they come out onto the pitch, and that the players can have something. And as I said, at the minute, I would take a 0-0. I would really. I would love to see them maybe get something. And again, you go into it, you know, UCD put 5 past Cork, so there is issues there. There was a couple of ones went past them as well in the Bowes match. And again, when you look at Harps, the last time they were in Balbuffet, it was 0-0. And you look at that from the Cup game last year, where we got beat 3-0, and that game was over quite early. We're not in Turner's Cross this week, we're in Finn Park. And I think that's huge, huge for the team to take on board this week and try and build on that, going into two very difficult games away to Longford and away to Bray.
And of course, it's a double weekend of fixtures because it's the bank holiday weekend. Harps are in Longford on Monday. Tomorrow night's match, Harps against Cork, kicks off at 7:45. It's one of 5 games tomorrow night. There are 2 games in the Premier Division as well, Joe. And I suppose Sligo Rovers are one of the sides involved tomorrow night. New manager on board as well in Darren Purse. Interesting to see how he's going to settle in.
Yeah, look, he came in last week and they were just a couple of minutes away from getting a really big 3 points, and they ended up conceding late against Drogheda. Now they're against their loud neighbours this week down in Dundalk.
Yes.
And Dundalk have done really, really well. You know, they've really turned things around. It's been very, very positive. A difficult night for Sligo going down there. But again, I would say Darren might take a point, but he probably at the stage now where he starts, he's looking and he needs 3 points. So from a Sligo point of view, they're running out of games and they've got to really look at trying to get second from bottom. Ideal would be get third from bottom, but the momentum that's in there with Waterford at the minute, and they really have the momentum at the minute. And, you know, last week, it would have been a big, big result for them to try and beat Drogheda. And I'm sure Kevin Doherty was going back up the road, a relieved man, to get 1 point, and that Sligo hadn't put a dent into their lead on them.
Yeah. Whatever about the first division, the Premier Division has been fascinating, hasn't it? There's so many teams thereabouts, so up challenging Shamrock Rovers and capable of closing in on them. Derry City returned to action on Sunday. Now, we know they're in a bit of bother tonight in that European tie, trailing 1-0, trailing 2-0 on aggregate. Big game on Sunday again. All of a sudden, there's a quick turnaround. They're away to St. Pat's. A big performance and a good result needed.
Yeah, for both teams. You know, Stephen Kenny's under pressure there, because I know at St. Pat's, they were definitely looking to be closer to Shamrock Rovers this season. And for Derry, if they do go out tonight, which it looks at the minute that they will, and we're keeping an eye on the scores as the game goes on. So for Derry, if they go out tonight, it's a quick turnaround to go again, you know, to be going again on Sunday, and away to Dublin, away to a Patsgate team that will be sitting waiting in the wings for them all weekend, had the week to prepare, as where Derry has got a really, really quick turnaround. So, you know, a big couple of days for Derry and for Tiernan.
Tony, you're with us tonight as well to chat about the success at the Carriages Cup with the Finn Harps Down Syndrome Futsal Squad. What a team. Nobody can match them, Tony. It's three national victories.
Four out of five.
There you go.
It started off in 23 around September, and it was semi-finals and final. We beat Dundalk 6-1 in the final. And the following April, we played Dundalk again. Now, first of all, before I say that, Celtic Foundation and Donegal Down Syndrome, we run a programme, and most of these boys were playing nearly every week.
Yes.
And probably some of the other clubs hadn't really got started, so we were ahead of them. But the second game we played Dundalk in the final, it was 4-3, so they were sort of catching up a wee bit. The third time we played Dundalk in the final again, and they beat us in penalties. But the fourth competition we won, and last Sunday, like, we played six, and we won the six games. And, you know, we have three internationals in the team: David Crawford from Donegal Town, Daniel O'Reilly from Letterkenny, and Hughie Sweeney from Gador. And I haven't been to Italy yet. Now, they've been in Italy this last two or three years, but you can see it live. And me personally, I would start the three of them every game, but I'm not the international manager. But no, it's a great buzz for them. It's a great buzz for their parents, even their siblings, like Daniel O'Reilly's brother, Connor, was in university and scholarship in America. And, you know, him emulating what his brother did by, say, playing for Ireland and different things, it's unreal. It's a great feeling.
Brilliant, Joe. The work that's going on with players at underage and being able to bring them onto the national stage like this. And for them, as you say, Tony, you can imagine the fun and excitement they're getting out of it, and their families as well, Joe.
Yeah, look, I was very fortunate when I worked with the FAI in 2003, being part of the football programme for the for the World Games. You know, that was one of the highlights of my career, and one of the things that, from a point of view as a coach, you know, they challenge you just as much as your international under 17 players at the time. And to see the boys working at that level at this now, and to have three internationals coming through and staying there at that level for as long as they have, and over 4 years, that's a remarkable achievement for Tony and for the players and for the commitment of their families as well, to keep turning up every week. And, you know, it's demanding on the families, demanding on the players, and demanding on the coaches. But, you know, to be coming back with national titles, that's nothing to be sneezed at. And it's a huge, huge achievement for the players and for the coaches.
Yeah, and continuing the training and continuing the matches, Tony, I'm sure.
Yeah, we still train every Saturday. Train the RF. We have from 5 years of age. We started 5 years of age to 11, one group, and then 12 to 17, another group, and then adults. And, you know, first of all, I'm going to say that, you know, a very good friend of mine, Danny Ferry from Dunfanny, is also a coach. So we all help each other. And then the volunteers that come every week, you know, giving their time. But I'm going to give really Enda Nichols of Arena 7, since we started, every year he has the Gardaí sitting at the Clan Rhee and bringing us in, and having staff plus customers standing out in the road clapping them getting in. Now, I have a few videos, I must send one, and they're honest to God, they're absolutely buzzing.
Yeah.
And it's great for myself and Danny as well, not the prestige of one, and just working with them. I did a lot of coaching my time.
Yeah.
And they're characters. We have three girls for the first time. We're the only team that has three girls, you know, and we did fantastic.
Brilliant job. Tony, thanks so much for coming in tonight, and Joe
no
as
bother,
well.
Thank you.
It's been a busy programme, but an enjoyable one, and we got through an awful lot, and it's nice to end on that note. Well done to you and the players and everybody involved. That's about it for tonight's programme. My thanks to all those who joined me on this evening's show. Thanks to Mark for producing, and of course, thanks to you, the listeners, for keeping us company. From myself, Jeremy Doherty, have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.